Hi there. My name is Dave Irwin. I am the Director of Adult Ministries here at Christ Community. And I've been on staff for about 8 years. So love the church, love this city, and very excited to be a part of the things that God is doing here. Well, today is June 4th, and our reading covers 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19. And these chapters introduce a very well-known prophet of God and one of my personal favorite Bible people, Elijah. And did you notice that Elijah, he kind of bursts onto the scene. There's not a lot of warm-up. We don't have a lot of background. He's just there doing incredible things for God. So it makes me wonder if like his life before this was as exciting or if it was a little more boring. I don't know. Maybe he had a really boring job before this. But in these days, whatever the case, the people of God, the people of Israel, see God do amazing things. And Elijah is a central part of that. Now, we should note that a foundational element of Elijah's life is he listened to God. He was able to hear the voice of God. And this is a big part of why he did the things that he did for God. So as you read these chapters, notice how often it says that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. I counted about five specifically. And then there were those times that Elijah was clearly doing or saying something that he received from God, because he had no power to make it happen on his own. For example, saying that it wasn't going to rain for years. Okay, he got that from God. Saying that the lady's oil and flour would not run out. He got that from God. He could not make these things happen on his own. So he had the ability to hear the voice of God. And Elijah is showing us that that is a prerequisite for doing anything for God and for his kingdom. You have to be able to hear the king's voice to take action in the kingdom. But hearing God's voice is not enough. Elijah showed also audacious faith in carrying out and attempting the things that God asked him to do, that God told him to say. It was audacious to proclaim that there would be no rain for years, but that was the message that Elijah heard from God. It was audacious to tell the woman that her flour and oil would not run out, but that was what God told him to say. And it was audacious for Elijah to ask God to raise the boy back to life. He had died, but he knew that God had the power to do that, and so he asked for it. It was audacious for Elijah to assault Baal with a test of power. But Elijah knew that Yahweh was the only true God in Israel, and that only he had the power to respond to that. And you know, he was feeling especially full of faith in that encounter against Baal and the prophets of Baal. And so he gave away every advantage that he had to the other side. He was one prophet of God. There were hundreds of prophets, priests of Baal and Asherah there. He gave away the privilege of going first and taking a risk that if something happened, if Baal had responded in some way, then they might have just killed Elijah right away, not even given him a chance to answer, because Baal had proven himself. He gave away the advantage of location. He put it on Mount Carmel, which was a central location for the worship of Baal. He gave them the best circumstances. They had a dry sacrifice to work with, whereas he handicapped his own circumstances, dousing his sacrifice with water over and over and over again. In contrast, you know, the prophets of Baal wailed and prayed and screamed for hours, trying to show their worthiness for Baal to hear them. Where Elijah prays one simple, calm prayer. You know, it wasn't even a long one. As far as prayers go, wasn't even long. And yet God responds. God showed up. His power shows up. Not only does fire fall and consume the sacrifice, it consumed the entire altar and all the water, everything that was right there. God showed himself. And Elijah's audacious faith set the stage. Remember that Elijah began this whole showdown with an ultimatum. And he told the people, get off the fence. If the Lord is God, then follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. Make a choice. And the people of Israel finish the showdown at the end claiming Yahweh, He is God. Yahweh, He is God. Elijah's faith, audacious faith, had led the people of Israel back to God, at least turned them back to Him. So Elijah hears God and responds in faith-filled action, but he also shows total commitment to following God. See, King Ahab and Jezebel had been leading an active campaign to eradicate the worship of Yahweh in Israel. And sadly, the nation were going right along with it. They're like, yeah, let's do this. But Elijah, in contrast, was so committed to following Yahweh that he commanded the entire priesthood and false prophets of Baal and Asherah be put to death, that not one was left alive to lead people away from their true God. For Elijah, there was no room for middle ground, and he was not going to stop short of complete return to the worship of the true God in Israel. He had total commitment. Now, the second half of our reading reminds us that even though Elijah was hearing the voice of God, and even though he had great faith and total commitment, that he was still just a man, and he had all the human frailties. And after all of these incredible encounters with God's power and being used by God, he stumbles. He is threatened by Jezebel. She says, I'm going to kill you, Elijah. And rather than standing tall and saying, try it, my God can protect me, he tucks tail and runs, and he hides in the desert. What I find so encouraging about this part of Elijah's story is how God responds to Elijah. He shows up, and Elijah is at a very low point, both emotionally and spiritually and physically, and God meets him with compassion and mercy. When God shows up, it's with compassion and mercy. He's not there. God did not show up with a scowl on his face saying, Elijah, how could you have so little faith? I'm so disappointed in you. No, he shows up with compassion and mercy. He sends an angel and provides food and drink for Elijah. He's allowed to rest, and then he's given more food and drink and told to go to Mount Horeb, which is also Mount Sinai, a very significant place in the relationship between God and the nation of Israel. And when he's there, God meets Elijah personally in a very gentle way. And he hears his fears, he listens to him, and responds with help. He responds with care, with tenderness. And he says, here's what we're going to do, Elijah. Isn't God awesome? That when we have faith and commitment, that he can do incredible things through us, that we can accomplish amazing things because of his power. But when we're weak and fearful, he responds with compassion and mercy. There truly is no God like Yahweh. So whether you are full of commitment and faith today, or whether you are feeling weak and fearful, may the God of Elijah meet you where you are at and respond with what you need from him. Thanks for joining me today.